Now we come to the last three steps of the 33 steps to reclaiming your infinite self. The last three steps are not actually steps. They're more like energies or perceptions. Step 31 is quest. Step 32 is fusion. And step 31 and 32 coming together create the 33rd energy, which is the initiate. So I'm going to take you through these three aspects as one and discuss them in this session. Quest is, of course, that sacred journey from ego to spirit. But it's more than that. I believe that when you make the decision to seek that hidden doorway within you, the infinite self, you're joined by a special inner energy. You can call it a guide, an archangel, a spiritual intuition. You can call it a golden wind. You can call it what you like. It's almost as if, in reaching up, requesting, deciding to become more, the energy clicks in and joins you. There's an inner process that is beyond our perception that goes on that I believe comes from outside this dimension, outside this world, from another world. Suddenly you're joined by an ancient, holy, very sacred power that is older than time, that comes into your consciousness, into your spirit, to allow you the ability to transcend. In your meditations, call upon the power of quest to join you and feel it coming into you. It will show you things. I have a great respect for it, for it helps to form a bridge from this world to the inner worlds of the infinite self. It is a part of the great mystery. Where it comes from, I know not. It's a reservoir of energy that many never tap into properly, but it's there to help you transcend. At the end of this Earth's evolution, we're all going to have to transcend, because otherwise we're going to create mayhem here on Earth, an absolute living hell. So the final journey for everybody on this planet is to reach the point inside of themselves where they are spirit rather than ego. At the moment, we're inside this definition, this physical body. We're Italians, Germans, French, African, Asian, whatever. In the end, we just become spirit that happens to be inside a physical body that was born in Vanuatu or wherever you were born. So quest is a sacred energy that you engage and call into your life. It isn't really there for you to make money. It isn't there for you to gain power, to have more sexual experiences. It's a sacred energy that helps you leave the emotion of this existence. It helps you depart and complete the evolution. I talked to you earlier about the mythical parchment where you have written your name down as wanting to evolve. When you made that momentous decision, what you actually agreed to do was to kill off the ego. In other words, to evolve beyond the earth plane, but still be here, still alive. That is a great prize. You get all the benefits of this incredible evolution, the beauty of it all, but you're not sucked in to the pain of it. That's your prize. That's your goal. But in order to claim your prize, you have to agree to melt your personality, to kill off the ego. As you get into the spiritual disciplines, and as you begin to meditate, fast, and go through all of these processes we've talked about in the previous 30 steps, you begin to disenfranchise and disempower the ego. What you're really doing is disappearing your personality. So, if while you're on this journey, you have morbid thoughts, or you feel like you're dying, or you feel like you're falling apart, know it's part of the process. More than likely, you're not dying or falling apart. It's just that the ego's world is melting away. I've had people describe it to me in my seminars as little bits that are falling off themselves, like little bits of ice in an ice flow that melt and crack and flow away. As you become lighter, your energy goes up, and you will kill off your own personality. In many ways, the symbol of Jesus Christ on the crucifix is a symbol of the death of the ego. You have to give yourself away in order to find yourself. In the story of Jesus, we see this human man, this ego personality, dying and rising again after 3 days. While the crucifixion was taking place, at his feet were Mary Magdalene and the other women. This was a way of saying that while the ego is going through its death, the femininity inside of you, the yin, the softness, the silence, the Tao, the sacredness, has to just sit and watch and wait. There's nothing it can do to save the ego. because your spirituality cannot be truly born until you enter upon the decision to kill off the ego, so to speak. So there is Jesus on the cross for 3 days, and the women waiting at his feet, ready to accept the death of the ego, so that the spirituality can come forth. And now Jesus is placed in a tomb, or in a trance state, a meditative state, a silent place away from the world, away from materialism, Pontius Pilate, the military, the Romans, the followers, away from the razzmatazz, or whatever showbiz was going on in Palestine at that time. He's in silence. Then after 3 days, he rises again, accepting and embracing the Spirit. At that point, he becomes the Christ, the Christos, the Christ consciousness, imbued with the Holy Spirit, transcendent. The process for you is very much the same. Your energy will go up, and you'll find yourself in the razzmatazz. You'll find yourself in the glamour. You'll find yourself seemingly performing miracles for people. They may want to follow you and declare you a god, but in the end, you know that you have to kill off the ego, and you will go through your quiet time, and you will retreat within the yin of the infinite self and the spirit within that is eternal, rising from within and taking its rightful place. You ascend to another plane of existence. You won't be dead. You'll still be in your body, here and simultaneously not here, human and not human, beyond the pain and confusion, in a dimension of pristine clarity, with a dispassionate vision of the heroic evolution of our people. So quest is firstly the agreement that you made when you asked to evolve. Secondly, it's understanding that as you evolve, you will kill off the personality. That doesn't mean you won't have a personality, that you won't remember things or you won't be who you are, but you'll kill off the dominance of the personality, the dominance of the ego, and start to see things in a completely different way. It's like a painting that's painted on some kind of transparent paper, and suddenly you shine a light through it from behind, and you see the painting in a completely different way. You're going to take that light of perception, and you're going to shine it behind day-to-day reality. As the light shines, you're going to see the world in its true evolutionary state. You will see how it actually is, not how it appears to be to the intellect. The process will completely transform your attitude, your emotion, your intellect, your psychology, your spirituality. It'll also change your physical body. Because the more spirit you become, the faster the cells of your body oscillate, which will require balance, but the faster it can heal and maintain. So quest is that sacred moment when you kneel down with your God and say, God, make me wise. Make me truly wise. At that point, quest is there for you. Sometimes in your meditation, you might see it as a hooded monk that has no face. Under his or her robes, it has no particular gender. It's a brilliant light that shines, that is hidden for fear of burning you with too much energy. Quest is the 32nd energy of the 33 energies of man. It comes to you as a gift when you make the initial turn. For me, the turning point was when I started to give up my personality traits. I'm half English and half Sicilian. When I was a young man in my 20s, I really did Sicilian. I lived in London, and I was pretty successful in the jeans business. There was a lot of criminals around in those days, so I used to travel around with an entourage of roughnecks and bodyguards and weird characters and girlfriends and people. The perfume circus, I used to call it, because it was so mafioso and out of control. One day I woke up and thought, wait a minute, I was educated in Britain and raised in Africa. I'm not Sicilian. My name is Wilde, not Corleone. What am I doing all this for? It's ridiculous. I remember deciding to trash Sicilian. In those days, I wore a black hat everywhere I went. I loved that hat. But I decided I was going to burn it. I poured a bottle of brandy over it and set it alight. That was my way of releasing being Sicilian. I think quest comes to you when you get out of, I'm Irish, I'm female, I'm old, I'm young, I'm Afro. You get out of those definitions and realize that you're an eternal being inside a body that may have been born in Ireland. So quest comes at that sacred moment when you agree to quit. It's a beginning and it's an ending at the same time. It's that sacred moment when you agree to quit the fight, the struggle, the emotion, the world of the ego personality, and you step. And as you do so, there's an absolute power that joins you from within, that assists you. It isn't going to lay out the path for you for the next 20 years, minute by minute, day by day. It shines a light in front of you. It's like a miner's lamp that shines a yard or two in front of the miner to show them the rock face upon which they're digging. Step 32 is fusion. From quest we go to fusion. Fusion's hard to understand. Fusion is the consolidation of power. Radiating from your body is an energy which is not normally visible to the naked eye, but it's definitely there. The name I prefer to call it is the etheric. Some people call it the subtle body. It's the totality of the electromagnetic energy that flows from you, imbued with the total feeling that you are. You can train yourself to see it if you can reactivate your peripheral perception. Peripheral vision is, of course, perceived with the side of the eye. Over thousands of years, we've lost much of our peripheral perception. The cells in that part of the eye have become less and less aware because we don't need peripheral perception to keep us safe in the forest anymore. You can wake those dormant cells back to life and usefulness if you care to. It's nothing more than constantly asking yourself, what is to my left and what is to my right? Then look in that direction without moving your eye to one side. Stare straight ahead and notice what is left and what is right. Doing this, you begin to reactivate the rods in your eye. I'll explain. There are two types of cells in your eye. The ones in the center are called the cones, and the ones to the outside, which are more sensitive, are called the rods. Peripheral perception comes from the rods. The rods are colorblind, but they can pick up the etheric. You just have to practice. Put both of your hands up either side of you and start moving them behind you. Notice when they disappear from your view. Broaden your field of vision by looking to the side constantly, without moving your eye, of course. And over a few months, your peripheral vision starts to come back bit by bit. Let's talk about the etheric. In a regular TikTok person, the etheric is all over the place. It's flying out from them, responding to emotion, responding to thought forms, responding to their physical energy. It's flying around like steam. But unlike steam, it's fast. It moves like little bolts of lightning, and they're burning energy left and right. When you come back inside of yourself, the etheric consolidates. You come back through intellectual and emotional discipline, through physical control, through understanding yourself, and suddenly the etheric is defined. That takes you away from the tribal emotion because your energy is now not permeating other people as you walk along. There is a defined place where you are that is different to where everybody else is. Now there's a gap between you and the rest of the world. Fusion takes place inside that gap. It's almost as if the various components inside of you come together and another defined click takes place. Right now, more than likely, your inner dialogue is sometimes contradictory and negative. I don't mean this in a bad sense. Let me explain myself. Because of the insecurity and the programming that we acquire and the experiences that the personality remembers or has heard about, most people will have a negative inner dialogue. So someone will come up with an idea and say, I think I'll organize a seminar in 3 weeks' time at the Diddly Diddly Hotel. And the mind says, no good, it won't work. You'll never get the price. You'll never make a profit. It comes from a negative stance. Sometimes you'll feel good and the ego says, no, we don't. It's inner state of perpetual inner doubt. There is a point on this journey, at the point of fusion, where your quest takes on critical mass. You've processed yourself, you've worked upon yourself, you've gone through the discomfort of it all, you've gone through the psychological process of looking at yourself, you've disciplined the mind, and suddenly a synapse takes place. You suddenly flip from negative to positive. It's almost as if you, as an electromagnetic field, suddenly move gradually back from one polarity, the negative polarity, back to zero, neutral. And suddenly, you flip to the other polarity, like the magnetic energy of the Earth does sometimes. At the point where fusion takes place, that is where the flip takes place. You're then more spirit than personality. You're mostly spirit and partly a physical body and a personality. That's what fusion is. It's that moment in time when your inner dialogue flips to a completely positive dialogue. You'll be walking along and thinking, I'll put on a seminar in 3 weeks' time. I'm not sure if it's going to work. I wonder if we'll get enough people. I wonder what it's going to cost. And your inner dialogue will respond saying, it's fine. Go ahead. Do it. It'll work. Invest. The inner dialogue will actually come forward and be totally positive. Intellectually, you might be negative or uncertain. But now the inner dialogue contradicts the intellect, whereas before, the intellect would contradict the inner dialogue. And suddenly, you come from a totally positive view of things. Your intellect says, I don't feel good, I don't feel strong today. And the inner dialogue will respond, we're fine, drink a pint of carrot juice. Usually, your intellect will match your inner dialogue. and be positive. But on the few occasions when it isn't, you'll be amazed to discover that the inner dialogue is 100% positive. There's no doubt, not the slightest doubt. There's no hesitation, there's no fear. The dialogue knows. Even when the inner dialogue needs to warn you or show you that you need to adjust, it doesn't do it in a negative way. It doesn't say, warning, warning, fear, fear, danger, danger. It just says, proceed cautiously. Or, take a look at the knots in this rope prior to stepping off this cliff. And you take a look at the knots, as I did once, and I noticed that the knots were not inside the carabiner. And you think, wow, that's good news. I better put the rope inside the carabiner before I climb down this cliff. Fusion is a great moment. It's that place where you consolidate your power, where you stand and say, I am what I am, and I accept that, and you mean it. It resonates eternally throughout your feelings. There's no part of you that says, no, you're not. Fusion shows you an enormous world that is not normally visible, and fusion follows on after quest has been established. Then you're joined by another energy, a different energy, which is created by quest and fusion melded together. The 33rd step is not a step. It's more an energy, the conclusion of this whole journey. It is the energy of the initiate. The energy of the initiate is hard to describe because it is beyond the mind, beyond the subconscious, beyond the waking intellect. It is outside what we consider the earth evolution. It's here and not here at the same time. Trying to put it into words and descriptions is a futile exercise. Like the first words of the Tao that say, the Tao that can be defined is not the Tao. The grace of God that can be defined is not the grace of God. The spirituality that you can define is not spirituality. The philosophy that you can define is not a complete philosophy, because in the end, it's a feeling. The initiate is outside human evolution. It's beyond. It's another place. Permeating this evolution are countless other dimensions. The physical experience that we describe as humanity is just one molecule, one thought form. There are countless others, some of them right here. There are people walking this earth that were originally in the physical 1,000 years ago. There are energies here beyond the mind. The 33 energies of man are 33 energies that make up one total energy. The way to visualize it is to imagine 33 pieces of string wrapped around each other. As they're wrapped around each other, twisted in a spiral, they make a rope. The 33 energies are like that. They are part of our evolution. They form the highway out of this evolution and into this evolution. They've been there, I believe, since the beginning of time, and they will be here beyond the end of time because they're infinite. As I worked upon myself over the years and as I went through the processes that have been described in this series, the inner doorway opened for me. I began to comprehend what is truly happening here. And what is happening is awesome. In a way, for a little human mind, it's terribly scary. But in a way, it's very beautiful also. For me, the decision was easy, because even as a young man, I'd been everywhere and done everything. And if I didn't search for some other place to evolve, I would have been finished. I more than likely would have projected myself out of the earth plane. I would have pulled something to me that would have allowed me to end this existence. As it was, a doorway appeared. Each time I got to the end of a set of energies, a set of experiences, a set of comprehensions, just at the point where I sat down and thought, well, that's it, Stu, you might as well kick the bucket and go, another doorway clicked open. For many of you listening to this program, that is your process as well. You're done with a lot of this earthly stuff. You're done with the crud of the physical plane. You don't need to die. What you need to do is to have the courage to evolve. The 33 energies of man is a sacred power that isn't to be found in books. You can't get it in a seminar. It's an understanding beyond the mind. The intellect will say that none of these worlds exist. But as you approach, you'll know that they're there. You probably already know that they're there. I remember walking in the mountains of New Mexico, close to a place called Cipapu, where every year we gather. I meet with my friends and present seminars up there high in the mountains. I was walking near there along a mountain track with my dog. The dog suddenly became agitated and stood rock still. Its ears pricked up, and it looked across the road, up an embankment towards some fir trees. I looked up, expecting to see perhaps some little animal, and what I saw was mysterious and stunning. About 30 yards off to my right was a geometric shape, violet in colour, that hovered in the air about head height, rotating ever so slowly, almost like in slow motion. When I say it was geometric, it was not part of any geometry that I know of. So it wasn't a square or a triangle or a cube or an oblong, but it had the feeling of geometric proportions. I watched this thing rotate. It was incredibly beautiful. It moved in a very purposeful and composed way. It seemed to me that it had intelligence. It knew what it was doing. After a while, my dog became satisfied that nothing that it might be interested in was happening, and the dog wandered off. I continued to watch the geometric shape as it hovered and turned. Suddenly, it shot across the road, instantly. I mean, it was 30 yards away, and suddenly it was in front of me. There was no appearance of motion between the two places. It was over there, and suddenly it was hovering at head height, 3 feet in front of me. I didn't see it actually move between the locations. It had hovered in front of my eyes, rotating incredibly slowly. It was showing me aspects of itself. The geometric shape was very, very complex, yet very beautiful. And the more I looked at it, the more I saw there were shapes inside shapes, colours inside colours. It had what I can only describe as personality, a vibrance. It had character. It had a sacredness about it, an evolution. It wasn't just a mechanical diagram in motion. It was like a being, but it was geometric. It had an enormous amount of what I can only describe as spirituality, and it had a way of pulling my concentration inside it. I could feel that it exuded goodness. It hovered there for a moment, and then it gave me a gold-colored ring. It didn't actually give it to me, it just hovered it near me. The ring was about 8 inches in diameter. The gold ring was a clue, a key if you like, that would unlock a door that came 3 years later. The geometric shape hovered the ring about 18 inches above me. The moment after it gave me this strange ring, the shape leant towards me ever so subtly, almost as if it was saying, "I am what I am. And you, Stuart, are what you are." It was like a silent prayer, a silent acknowledgement. The process of it hovering in front of me and the gift of the ring took about 30 to 40 seconds. And then the shape shot off to my left, across an embankment and past a grassy area through which a stream flowed. It hovered in midair on the other side of the stream at about 20 to 25 feet. I watched it. It hovered there for about 8 to 10 seconds, maybe slightly more, and suddenly it disappeared like a soap bubble that had burst. It was there, and a millisecond later, it wasn't there anymore. From that experience, I came to realize that there are many things that we don't understand. Since that geometric experience, I've had 8 more of that type of experience, as well as seeing comparable inner visions and symbols that are part of the ring's teaching or message. A lot of it is way past my knowledge and my understanding. But what I find happens is I see something I don't understand, and then over a period of a few years, I slot it together like a jigsaw, and then I understand it. I'd go into details, but most of the time, it's impossible to describe. So many things are indescribable. There are places that don't exist. Dimensions that are moving backwards. Dimensions that are folded inside themselves. There are beings that are here and not here. What it all means? One day perhaps I'll know. On the other hand, most of it I'll probably never know. But in the sight of it, in the privilege of it, I learn things I don't know. And even though I may never be able to explain it all, someday, someone, you perhaps, will explain it. So as you step towards that 33rd energy, as I have, the visions will guide you. Quest will guide you. Fusion will allow you to make the transcendence. Once you do step across, you're not dead. You're not finished. You're not sitting up a mountain with a little robe on, clanking a bell, 500 followers kissing your toe. You're the garbage man, eternal, immortal, hauling garbage, looking up the street and seeing through the people like they're transparent, being a part of those angelic dimensions, being a part of the spirit of nature, understanding the evolution of water and air, earth and fire, living inside the etheric dimension on the one hand and the evolution of the garbage collector on the other. If you ever come across a person that has absolutely mastered this 33rd energy, you'll never know it, because basically they'll be invisible. I know I will never master it until I can step past teaching, step past having to appear in places, step past having to talk about it. Little by little over the years, I've begun to make less and less appearances and show up in less and less places. So I'm thankful, because I'm getting there. But one day, someday, I'm going to buy a taxi and I'm going to retire inside the world of the 33rd energy of man, if it will allow me to do so. And I'll drive my taxi. And who will be sitting in the back seat smiling? You'll be sitting there. And you'll say, "Hello, Stu. What are you doing here?" And I'll say to you, "I'm practicing like you are. I'm practicing in becoming nothing." Thank you. God bless you, and Godspeed on your journey.